A person's last words can often communicate something unique about them. For example, Leonardo da Vinci, the masterful Renaissance artist, said this with his dying breath: "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have." Oscar Wilde, the famous Irish poet and playwright, said this on his deathbed: "The wallpaper and I are fighting a duel to the death. One or the other of us has to go." The well-known American inventor Thomas Edison said with his last words, "It's very beautiful over there." On Sunday mornings throughout this season of Lent, I invite you to join me in listening to the crucified Christ. Listening to the crucified Christ. The last words of Jesus as he died on the cross of Calvary. As you may know, there are seven utterances that constitute Christ's last words. Each of them very rich in significance in their own way. The first of these that I want to focus on this morning is found in both Matthew and Mark, where we read these desperate words spoken by Jesus as he hung on the cross, dying for the sins of mankind. My God, why have you forsaken or abandoned me?" In listening to the crucified Christ, let us be reminded of a couple of important truths. Firstly, be reminded that to follow God's way means there will be times when we find ourselves with desperate questions. Let that sink in. Perhaps you can relate, even this morning. There will be times when we find ourselves with desperate questions as we follow God's way. You are well aware, of course, that throughout Christ's time on earth, he was certainly and consistently aware of what ultimately awaited him, and never ever attempted to keep that reality hidden from his disciples. Let me give you just one example of what I'm referring to. In Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Out of my sight, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus never, ever attempted to withhold from his followers the fate that awaited him. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, we come across these words. Jesus called the disciples together and said, "The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, in listening to these specific words of the crucified Christ, we dare not minimize the significant theological component of what they represent. One writer says in that regard this, as the apostle says, "In that he died unto sin once." He died unto sin. There was a connection between Christ's death and sin, though it was not his own sin, but the sin of the whole world. In that moment of the apparent victory of evil, the Redeemer's spirit felt a darkness similar to ours when sin has hidden our consciousness of God. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was experiencing the horror, the desolation as a result of a holy God turning his face away from the blackness of sin. Now, it was likely this darkness owing to sin, sin that hid his consciousness of God, that prompted King David back in Psalm 22:1 to cry out as Jesus would many years later, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?" Now, friends, here's the critical and essential point that I want you to grasp this morning. You can be the most certain, the most consistent, the most dedicated or committed, the most serious or sincere disciple, Christ follower, child of God, whatever term you want to use, yet still encounter circumstances that will rock you to the core and leave you asking, as Jesus did, why this? Are you in circumstances this morning that have you asking, why? Know this on this first Sunday of Lent. It's not a negative reflection on your level of commitment, spirituality, Christian maturity. Jesus has been there asking that question of his Father. How come? Why this? Which is to say, when we find ourselves asking why, we are in good company. In fact, you may be nearer to Jesus than you even know, even when or while the questions are swirling about in your mind and you feel like God is light years away. Listening to the crucified Christ say my God, why have you forsaken me? Be reminded that to follow God's way means there will be times when we find ourselves with desperate questions. Secondly, as we think of these last words of Jesus, be reminded that to follow God's way means there will be times when we find ourselves in a serious quandary. There will be times in following God's way when we find ourselves in a serious quandary. Quandary. What does that word mean? The dictionary says this: a quandary is a state of perplexity or uncertainty, especially as to what to do. A dilemma. If we were to change the words of Jesus that we're listening to from a question to an assertion, an exclamation, perhaps even an accusation, Jesus is actually expressing, "Oh my God, you've abandoned me, forsaken me." Get your head around that. Too frequently these days we hear those words, "Oh my God," and they are trite. They are thoughtless. Whenever you hear them, never fail to associate them with our Lord. "Oh my God, you have forsaken me. You, even you, have abandoned me." This is Jesus at his most vulnerable. Jesus at his most visceral in his humanness. It's as if he's saying, "I never thought I would find myself in this situation, in this condition, entirely on my own because God has vanished." I've told you before that the ancient prophets had an expression that they used to refer to this kind of an experience. They called it Deus Abscondus. God has absconded. God is gone. God has taken off and left me alone to face the realities of life by myself. That's the kind of quandary that Jesus himself found himself in, felt himself in on the cross. Scripture, as we know, is filled with the promises of God to never leave us or forsake us, collectively or individually. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 8, we read this: "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" That promise was originally given to a specific individual, Joshua, as he took over the leadership of Israel from Moses. In Hebrews chapter 13, The writer draws on these same words from Deuteronomy 31 and applies them to all believers in general. God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Listening to the crucified Christ on this first Sunday of Lent, we hear him say to his Father, "You've abandoned me. You've forsaken me. Why? How come? What gives? You haven't kept your word." Nevertheless, listening to the crucified Christ, hear him, see him, feel him in a quandary owing to his raw human feelings of being isolated, of being forsaken, of being abandoned by his heavenly Father. This past November, a groundbreaking report was released regarding the Archdiocese of Vancouver, where a committee on clerical sexual abuse concluded that 26 sexual assaults of minors likely occurred in the diocese since 1950. And it identified 9 priests who were criminally convicted, named in lawsuits, or were the subject of other public cases. This past week, in the work that I do with addressing sexual abuse in religious circles, I did an intake for a similar situation unfolding in another major Canadian city. I spoke with one 75-year-old woman who was first sexually abused by a priest from the time she was 5 years old to 7 years of age. And as she told me her story, I noted with interest that she used the word abandoned several times to describe her feelings throughout most of her life. Over the years, until able to obtain therapy for 4 years beginning in 2005. Abandoned. Forsaken. In a quandary. Jesus has been there. Jesus has felt the emotions that go along with being in such a place. If today you find yourself in a place where you have more questions of or about God than you have answers, if you find yourself in a quandary with respect to what God is or perhaps isn't doing in your life, if perhaps you feel abandoned by God, he knows you're broken. He hears you cry and wonder why. So please know that, like Jesus, it is okay to publicly articulate, to publicly acknowledge those questions that you have, that quandary that you're feeling. Please know that you are not alone in feeling that way. Please know that there are times when we all need to be still and just let him be God. Even when we have questions. So don't give up. Don't let go of what he's been promising you. To never leave you or forsake you. All of us had a time in our infancy, in our developing years, when it first dawned on us that we were all alone in a room. Mom or dad could not be seen. And it was scary. It was intimidating. You likely don't remember it, but it was. Had mom or dad forsaken you? Had they abandoned you? No. But it sure felt for all the world as if they had. I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus says to us on this first Sunday of Lent. Pray with me, please. Lord, in the busyness of life, given the nature of life as we know it, we want answers, and we want answers now. We're an instant kind of people. We don't like questions. We don't like not being able to figure stuff out. We don't like asking why. Jesus did, which tells us that so will we. So for any in this room this morning, oh God, experiencing life at this time where there's more questions than answers, where why looms large and they feel like screaming it at the world, I pray that these moments in reflecting on the words of our crucified Christ would assure them that it's okay to ask why. And as they wait, as they are still before you, that in your time you will answer. Grant us faith, O God, because it's in the name of Christ that I pray. Amen.